Welcome to the Uncaged Podcast. I'm Andy. I'll be your host as we talk about all things mindset, motivation, and talking about how to become your best self. Now, I have someone here today.
You look funny.
I look funny. Is it because I've got no hair in my head?
Yes. Do you get especially cold on your head?
Yeah, it's more like a brain freeze. Fucked. Especially in this cold shit. So, I have Tam here today. Say hi, Tam.
Hi, Tam.
Well, Ken did. Hi, Ken.
You said hi, Tam.
Yeah,
say
hi, Tam.
Tam.
Hi, Tam. Good.
Hi, Tam.
So, where do we go?
Where do you want to go?
To the start.
Not far.
Yeah.
Okay.
Pretty much backstory. I've known Tam far out.
Nearly 10 years?
10 years.
Unfortunately.
We worked together in a solar company, and Tam was a crazy admin person, stressed out of her brain. But you met Britt first, and that's how I ended up knowing you, wasn't it?
Yeah, Britt was my PT back at the start. I think we connected the most when she asked me to pull her finger. And I was like, why do you want me to pull your finger? Like, Britt, are you going to fart?
Did she want you to crack her finger or something?
No, I actually thought she wanted to fart. And, like, we were in the gym and we were at the lat pull down.
What?
And, like, we started cacking it because it was just so funny. It was so unexpected.
I didn't even know this story.
Oh, my God. Everyone around us was just like, you're here to work out, not laugh. And ever since that day, like,
what the fuck? I actually didn't know this.
Really?
No.
Oh shit.
There's a lot of things
you don't know about your fiance.
Oh shit. So, you've been on a crazy journey and I've been a part of this.
Yes, you have.
What's it now? Is it 60 in total? Is that 66? Wait.
No.
101 kilos?
No, to be exact.
96 kilos.
96 kilos gone.
96 kilos.
But you may as well round it up to the 100. Make me feel a bit more special.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, because it's all about you.
Yeah. Who else would it be about?
It'd be about me.
No, fuck you.
It's pretty crazy. Like, I'm 103.
I lost you.
You lost me.
I wish I lost you.
Yeah, because I'm staying.
Where's Andy?
I'm staying here.
Can't see you.
Yeah, I bet you'd like that. Just me just not being on the seat anymore.
After the training session you just pulled today and yesterday? Yeah.
Oh, man. Yesterday's leg session, she was screaming. And I just had this face. Go again.
No sympathy.
Go again.
You were dick mode.
What I do, I just... don't tolerate the sooking. Just stick with your task.
I really hate you when you do that.
And then I love that because I'm like, let's leverage that hate. And let's push into the workout. So, where have you come from? Egypt.
No. My mother's stomach.
Wait, what?
I'll keep it G-rated.
You came out of this, that nice word. Keep
the belly button.
Keep it G-rated. So, obviously, you've been on a crazy-ass journey.
Yeah.
Tell me a little bit about that from your perspective.
Oh, shit.
I know it, but share it for others. Because in the end, obviously, I talk about mindset, and we'll definitely get into that because you've had to go through that area, like crazy, to make a change.
Yeah.
And all the roadblocks that you went through in that process. But share from your story the beginning. We're going to go straight into it.
Okay.
And, help people understand.
Okay. I think my whole life I had, like, the yo-yo diet, where it was, like, 1 minute I'd be thin, to then chubby, to then overweight. And it wasn't the whole stereotype where, oh, she can't stop eating or... you know, she just needs to control her diet, she needs to exercise, which, complete bullshit. There was health conditions that affected that, which a lot of people just don't see. And, like, okay, to put it plain and simple, so before I got married, I was about 8 kilos. And training like a beast, I was fit, healthy, whatnot. And then after I got married, my hormones changed, and
just from marriage.
Just from marriage. Freaking stress. No, I'm kidding. I love my husband. Like, it's just that plain and simple. Ollie,
yeah.
Make sure you do the dishes. Or you're grounded.
You're
no,
grounded. Have some rest.
Yeah, 100%. So we went on our honeymoon, came back 2 weeks later, 10 kilos heavier. Like, abnormal weight gain. Went to the doctor, found out I got diagnosed with polycystic ovaries.
Mm-hmm.
They're little cyst balls on your ovaries.
Cyst balls.
Cyst balls. Little pimples.
Yeah.
Boop. And then that can go one of two ways, whether you can have dramatic weight gain or dramatic weight loss. And unfortunately, it had the effect of weight gain. Then a year later, I got diagnosed with underactive thyroid. Research it.
Because
I'm not going to describe it. Because I'm not.
Can't back deal with that.
Not knowledgeable on that. But anyway, all I knew was it was another contributing factor of weight gain. Then a year and a half later, I got diagnosed with the doctor said, very severe sleep apnea.
Mm.
To the point where when I was sleeping, my heart rate was about 170.
And that was when you were at your biggest? Or was that on the way up to?
That was 130. When I hit 130.
Right.
And then, yeah, it was just down here from there. I had a PT. I was doing, you know, the crazy diets from light and easy to Weight Watchers to the freaking keto and all of that. Nothing was budging. Like, I would only lose, like, 3 kilos over 4 months. Like, it was just hell. So then I made the drastic decision of having weight loss surgery.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I do not regret it.
Mm-hmm.
I am very proud that I had the courage to step up to do that. And
well,
I know...
Well, if you think about it, how you were prior to that, like...
Getting my life back.
What led you to that was, like, you didn't want to move. You
yeah.
want to do anything from what our movie told. Because
it hurt too much.
Yeah, gravity.
Yeah, gravity pulled all the weight down.
Dude.
Like, it was hell. Like, I couldn't walk, you know, 10 metres without having my back locked, and I was walking like a little chubby penguin. Like, may as well make the seal. So, that was shit.
So you did the weight loss surgery.
Did the weight loss surgery.
Yeah.
Like I said, don't regret it, and I'm not ashamed of it, because it was my only way out of being a prisoner in my own body.
Yeah.
What got me the most was my mind was so active.
Mm.
You know, I would envision myself going for runs and, you know, cleaning the house 5 times a day, like, really on the move.
Yeah.
But to even get up was a struggle.
So you had those inspirations to go and do those
yeah.
things, but it's like, the couch, man, it'd be comfy.
I couldn't get off.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, literally, when people say, you need a crane to lift you off,
mm.
I needed a crane to lift me off. Like,
yeah.
it was hell. And it's not where I wanted to be.
Mm.
And I was young. This affected me from the age of 20 to... 26.
Right.
So my young years.
Yeah.
I'm not saying I'm old. Like, shit,
she's 60
I've got,
now.
Got the grey hairs to show it. But I dye that shit every 6 weeks. But! And wrinkles. Botox is your best friend.
Don't listen to her.
Listen to me. Trust me. I've got some good injectors.
If you literally just deadlift, things change.
Right. I'm broken back.
Yes.
I'm still suffering from Monday.
So, just to backtrack, at your biggest, the biggest before the surgery is 160. Yeah. And
160.
On the way up to there, you had the underactive thyroid.
Yeah.
Which is when, from what Bruce told me, I think it's when the insulin isn't regulating.
So literally the thyroid's just where your neck is,
yeah.
And I'm not a doctor, so no one come at me. But it, how I was described it, is a normal person's thyroid's going like this. Mine was going like this.
It's super slow.
Literally, I would look at a piece of food and it, the weight would come on me.
Yeah.
Like, that's how drastic it was. Like, see, if you go have a snack, let's
yeah.
say a chocolate bar,
mm-hmm.
right? You wouldn't gain anything from that.
Yeah.
Because it would burn in your system.
Mm.
Automatically, after I consumed it, I'm not joking, 2 kilos would have jumped on me.
Body's just like, what the heck, watch
yeah,
this.
Literally.
Yeah.
So that's why I chose to do the weight loss. I was against the weight loss surgery
right.
when I was before marriage,
okay.
like 80 kilos. I was like, nah, you know, I'll be honest. I was saying to people, that's a cop out. You can do it, blah, blah, blah. I was dead set, you know.
Hmm.
But when I hit to a point, I was like, shit, well, it's either I gain my life back or I die.
Mm.
Like, I saw all these health conditions jump on me one after the next, and I couldn't really control it. Well, do I want to live a better life,
mm.
or do I just want to keep laying on the couch and not being able to get up? And
you had to make the choice.
I had to make the choice.
Yeah.
You know, and then I got so depressed where it was to the point where I was like, okay, home, work, home, work, home, work. And to avoid going out, I would just make sure I stayed at work a bit longer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, I would be telling everyone that I'm working so much to avoid being seen.
Mm.
Not that I was ashamed of myself.
Mm.
But there's only so much you can do by telling everyone your story,
mm.
and then they're still not believing it because it's like, no, well, it's just the food you eat.
Yeah.
Well, no, it's not. Do you want me to provide my Medicare to you? Like,
that was what I was going to ask as well.
I will,
like,
provide that documentation, smart ass.
I want the Medicare, otherwise I just don't believe anything she says.
Mate, you should.
So, like, the food that you were eating when you were gaining all the weight before the weight loss surgery, how were your choices on average? Were they hit and miss still, or
hit and miss? Like, I'm not gonna lie to you, like, there was days where majority of my days was like one meal a day.
So under eating, yeah.
Because it was like, well, if none of my diets are working, then I'll under eat and then lose weight.
Mm.
Stupid mindset, I know. But then there was days where I got so down on myself, like, screw it, I'm gonna just have some KFC.
Yeah.
And then there was days where it's like chicken rice salad, like, you know, good food.
Like phases.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But when I had long periods of good food and training, it still wasn't, like, benefiting me.
You weren't seeing the progress.
Wasn't even feeling the progress.
Mm.
Not just seeing, but feeling. I wasn't feeling good. I wasn't
mm.
feeling, you know, the energy that people say you're supposed to have. And
from training.
Yeah.
Yeah, and dieting.
Yeah, and dieting. And so, yeah, that's
mm.
where it led me to weight loss. So,
right.
You know, I was getting to the point where when I did go out, people would be like, Tam, every time I see you, you keep getting fatter and fatter.
Oh, I remember hearing this.
Oh.
Yeah.
Like, it's not just like I was feeling crap about myself
mm.
and I couldn't control it. But what gives you the right to make me feel even crapper about myself?
Easy, like, something... easy target for people who don't do anything.
But why? Like, I don't get it. Like, don't be a dick to people. Like,
mm.
everyone suffers in their own way. Everyone has their own little traumas and problems they're going through life. And why make it worse?
Mm.
Why not be like, hey, you know, do you want to chat?
Mm.
How you feeling?
Let's do something.
Confide in me.
Mm-hmm.
Really open up to me. Like, that's what I would do for people. Mm. What's, like, there was a time, oh my God, I feel like this is so funny and so stupid at the same time. And also, I feel bad for this person. And I'm not going to out him because I'm not like that when I really am.
Off camera.
I'll tell you.
Safe. I want the address.
No. Yes, 100%. Or he found out where he lives. I know his cousin's name, his future wife's name. Come after you.
I love that.
No. He jumped on Snapchat, right? And he did a story. And the story was outing about 4 girls, right? Now, again, I'm not going to out him, but this particular guy, he has low self-esteem and he doesn't feel good about himself. And I feel like he needed to do this to make him seen as somebody. So all I can really feel for him is pity. But anyway, he jumped on Snapchat, posted a story about 4 girls, and one of the girls was me. I probably saw this guy twice in church.
Right.
Hi, how are you? And that's it.
That's it.
Right? Now, church boy, dad's a bishop. Like, if you don't know who I'm talking about, you do now.
For those who are watching.
Exactly. He full jumps on Snapchat and he's like, this girl, Tamara, really fat. Her stomach hangs over her legs. She's got a muffin top. She wants to jump on my DICK. Hopefully kids cannot spell yet. And like, okay, number one, I'm married.
So you made an impression. Only 2 times you've seen him.
Shit, like, he must have been overly excited to see me those 2 times.
Maybe back then you were his type.
Oh, Lord. It wasn't even my freaking type. But, like, I was watching it and I was like, do I be upset? Do I feel pity? Or do I just feel sorry for him that he's uneducated and he's trying to be someone that people are supposed to like? And then it comes to the point, well, that's the generation nowadays. Like, you need to make fun of people to be something.
Yeah.
And I think that's so wrong.
Mm-hmm.
You should make yourself something that people actually want to hang around with.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, if you are ever suffering from a hard time, I will be there for you. Why can't people have that mindset?
Probably because they're caught up in themselves with their void that they feel, and then they will feel a way just because they target someone else. It gives them that feeling. And at that time, you're a perfect target. Which is, it's crazy, but it's, and adding on to that, social media, you sit behind a phone or a computer, you can do whatever you want, can't you?
Well, exactly.
And get away with it.
Which is so stupid. And then, and what I found was even weirder, even if that's a word. I tried to confront him about it.
Right.
And then my husband tried to confront him about it.
Oh, shit.
And he ran away. Like, he, and that's... Yeah, he couldn't handle it. He couldn't handle the confrontation, but he had the balls to jump on social media and do that.
Publicly.
Publicly. But you can't, like, and this is where pity comes in, because he has low self-esteem, he can't back his own word. Which, I feel sorry for you, you know? Like,
doesn't last very long.
No.
People will keep doing that until someone calls them out on it or confronts them.
So, you know, be nice to people. Like,
be nice
to people.
Be nice.
Don't be a dick.
Don't be a dick.
So, know, people come in all shades and colours and
yeah.
weight and skinny and...
Yeah, I do.
It's annoying.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not to... Even when I was in high school and primary school, bullied.
Yeah.
Primary school, I went to an Aussie mainstream school.
Mm.
And as you know, my background's Middle Eastern.
Yeah.
So... Compared to the white pasty girls, I was more olive skin,
yeah.
Darker features
mm.
and all that. So I would get bullied for that.
Mm.
I'd get bullied because I've got hair on my arms.
Mm.
Not anymore. you know, I would get bullied for having a monobrow.
Yeah.
That shit gets threaded.
That's...
Don't look at the monobrow.
I tried to... To suss it out.
Oh, I could draw it on
yeah.
for you if you
oh,
want.
Oh, hell yeah. Oh, I'll just keep it on my own.
See? Can you see it?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I can see it.
You know, and then I went to... Yeah, I'd get bullied for that. And then I went to a Middle Eastern Egyptian Coptic Orthodox school. And I'd get bullied for being a white girl.
Right.
To Aussie.
Too Aussie, mate.
And then you'd have these little, again, low self-esteem people where, and
no.
I'm not outing anyone,
mm.
but if you want me to, I can.
Do it.
No. I'd have, like, low self-esteem people with a lot of spare time on their hands make fake accounts of me
mm.
and start calling... People black.
Yeah.
People white.
Mm.
People fucking purple.
Mm-hmm.
Like, shit.
Anything they could.
The whole colour of the rainbow.
Mm.
And I was like, I don't see you
mm-hmm.
at for what colour you are. I
no.
see if you're a decent person or not. If you're not a decent person, I don't want to really deal with you.
Mm-hmm.
But... People that has low self... Like, I was overweight, I had low self-esteem, but you never saw me come at someone. Ever. Now, I'll say how it is, and whoever's feelings get hurt, then I'm sorry, but
yeah.
it's the truth.
But you had to get to that point.
I did.
Yeah.
Long journey.
Mm-hmm.
Long journey. Like, throughout the weight loss journey, after the surgery, that was hard. That was really hard. Like, it was like... I remember waking up after the surgery and the first thing I thought was like, shit, I can't consume a whole cheeseburger anymore. Like, that was like doomsday.
Well, yeah, your stomach is like half the size. And...
Yeah, like, I would drink water
mm.
and it was like cement going down.
Yeah.
And I was laying in that hospital bed and I was just like, oh... What did I just do? Like, full of regret.
Mm.
But shit, the gas after the surgery, like, farting gas.
Like, gas farts.
I, like, nurses did not want to come into the room.
It would have been taking advantage of that.
It was bad hands. Like, I filled that room with, like, carbon monoxide or some shit.
Poison gas.
Like, light a fire and it's like,
kaboof. That's weird. I don't know. That happened.
I just spat at you.
Dude, that was gassy.
Yeah, it was bad.
Dude.
But yeah, then I went home after the hospital stay and shit, getting up and down was hard because you had all these incisions in your stomach. You had like 5 incisions.
Yep.
And wasn't pretty, like your whole stomach was bruised and
yep.
It was like a mission every day. First 2 weeks, you could only have liquid.
Mm.
Next 2 weeks was like baby food.
The puree.
I called it putrid.
Oof.
It was nasty. like blended chicken and ugh.
Yeah.
And then 2 weeks after that, it was like soft foods. And then it was normal foods. But for a while, I couldn't have like a chicken breast.
Couldn't have anything.
It's too dry.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like, you couldn't feel like you could swallow it.
Mm.
But, yeah, so... But then, one thing that I'm proud of myself, and I will take 100% credit for, is the 1 month after the surgery, I started at the barn gym.
Mm.
my free advertising for you. Boom. Don't worry.
I remember.
Yeah, shit. I think it, I remember it was the 22nd of the 1st, 2021.
I'm glad you had that.
Yeah, that was pretty crazy. That was our first boot camp challenge.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
I won that, bitch. I won that challenge.
You did, so you, you did boot camp first.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You only had boot camp running there.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
And
yeah,
I was literally
yeah.
doing it probably twice a day,
mm-hmm.
morning and night.
Mm. Only.
Only. But then I drastically added PT into it.
Mm-hmm.
And then I drastically added cardio, 1 hour cardio.
Yep.
And then, shit, I signed up to Pilates. So I found myself, 1 month after the surgery, working out minimum 4 times a day.
Yeah, you were crazy.
I
remember that.
I was a psycho case.
Yeah.
Like,
you wanted to change.
I wanted to change.
Mm.
I wanted to take more credit for the change.
Mm.
I do not want to have the surgery and then be a couch potato or be one of those stereotypes that didn't work hard for where they are.
Yeah.
Now, if you're going to sit there today and tell me, hey, Tam, do you need loose skin surgery because of how much you lost?
Mm.
Well, technically, no, I don't.
You've done well.
Like, all my skin has bounced back because of how hard the training was that I did.
I have to say, like, what's the standard? It's like, when you do a weight loss surgery, it's like you get given 20 kilos or something, isn't it?
Well, the surgeon actually said to me the most that I would actually lose is between 30 to 40 kilos.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what they have to average it on.
Okay.
When the surgeon saw me just before I got pregnant,
mm.
and he realized that I lost nearly 100 kilos,
yep.
he didn't believe it. He was like, nah.
No way.
No way.
Yeah.
And he was actually asking me how I did it, and I said, 4 times a day.
Yep.
I said I was not going to be the prisoner in my own body that I was.
I love that. I love that that shift happened because, all right, let's look at it. What, you would have been 100, let's say we go off the doctor's, what he said, you lose like 30, 40. Let's just say 30, because that's probably like, let's just keep it conservative. So you'd be 130 kilos. Let's just say, that's still a shitload of weight. What are you, today you said you're 64 kilos.
I'm 64 kilos.
Man, it's hard enough for someone to lose 10 kilos.
Yeah.
So think about how crazy that is still. So you can do the surgery and there'll be people that will hear this and go, oh, yeah, but you did weight loss surgery. Mate, I know people who have done the weight loss surgery and put it all back on.
Yeah.
They lose it and then they're like, didn't change their habits, they didn't start exercising, and they kept that same, it's a fat mindset.
Yeah.
It's a lazy mindset. And they don't change.
Yeah.
I got no sympathy. But
yep.
for you, you changed. I was very privileged to be there to absolutely smash you in the sessions.
Oh my God.
I was, out of everyone I've trained, I'm training a lot of people now, you're the one I've went the hardest on.
Yeah,
but
you would turn to me and be like, stop being a fat shit and get off that ground.
Yeah, get moving.
But I appreciated that. Because
yeah.
that was brutal honesty to my face.
Well, I've been saying this a lot. Would you prefer people in your life that lie to you and go, it's okay, it's going to be okay. Just
no.
Take the long road. Take the safer road. You
no.
know, you're doing so well. Mate, the human potential is ridiculous.
Yeah.
Look at what you've done. And
like, the difference between you doing that towards me and the people that used to come at me for saying, oh, Tam, every time I see you, you keep getting fatter and fatter.
He's labeling.
Like, they're putting in their low self-esteem and projecting it on me.
Yep.
Whereas you genuinely cared to help me make a change that I wanted to change.
I wanted it just as bad as you did.
Exactly.
I'm like, this can be a massive transformation. I remember saying to Britt, I'm like, imagine Tam hits that crazy goal. I still say that about people today. I'm like, imagine if they just flip that same switch and change their life completely. Like, look, you're a mum now. You're a mum now. Dude.
I'm a bitch.
What? Shit.
Say it right.
Damn. Sing my name right. And that's something that you deserve the credit for, because like there was the times where you just didn't want to do anything. Especially at the start. Like I remember, you remember at the time, like those early days when you started PT, you just on the ground from the pain of challenge from the training sessions, and I'm showing you nothing.
Yeah, like a crunch
nothing.
Was the worst thing in the world. A burpee, yeah. I would walk away.
Yeah, you always say fuck you.
Yeah, I'd be like, it's not happening.
I'm done. Thanks.
I'd jump in my car and drive off
into
the sunset.
Yeah.
Like,
bye.
Bye.
Back to my couch.
See you later. How you doing, Maccas?
How you doing, Maccas?
Like there was times where Britt was training me back in the day when I was bigger before the weight loss surgery. And she would train me, and then I went to La Brochetta and got a freaking pizza. Right after, I did not tell her, but now she's gonna know.
She's
thanks.
She's on record now.
Shit. She's gonna kick me in the rear for that. But there was people, you're right about saying, you know, there was people, like, there's actually people I know that did the weight loss surgery, and now they've gained the weight, not probably all back on, but a large chunk of it back on.
Yeah.
And that's because they're still in the same mindset that where they were.
Mm.
Whereas I am so adamant that I never want to be, and I know I've said it already, I never want to be a prisoner in my own body again.
Mm.
Like, that is the biggest thing that will probably ever kill me. My biggest fear is being a prisoner in my own body.
Yep.
Because my mind is so active.
Mm.
So, you know, there was a time after I gave birth. Oh, no. When I found out I was pregnant, look, don't get me wrong, my son is the most amazing blessing I could ever wish for. I am so blessed to have him. And he's an amazing child.
Mm.
Never cries, always smiles, you know.
Always smiles.
Oh, my Lord. And he's such a ladies' man already. I'm so screwed. We were at netball the other day. You weren't there. We were at netball, and he's looking at the legs like this.
He does that look.
And
he is sassing it.
Oh, and I'm like, stop.
Good
like,
luck.
You're not even 2 years old. Like,
good luck. He's walking though, so it's over.
He's running.
It's over.
Like, but, so when I got pregnant with him, the first thing that was in my head was like, I'm going to lose my body again.
Yeah.
I'm going to gain weight again.
I remember those conversations.
That was...
would have been hard.
That was hard.
Because you just did that whole journey. Because you got to like 65 and then you felt pregnant, and then, yeah, you would have been thinking about that.
Yeah,
like,
massively. And then the first trimester, I actually lost 10 kilos.
Yeah.
The hormones... life circumstances, not eating properly, but also there was a part of me that was scared to gain the weight back.
100%.
So I was about 70 kilos when I found out I was pregnant, went down to 60, and then at the end of the pregnancy I got up to 80 kilos.
Yeah.
After I gave birth on the 11th day, I lost all the weight again.
Mm-hmm.
But being a mum is hard. Everyone thinks that it's easy. It's all the Instagram models that, you know, their baby looks so clean and bathed and, you know, smells great. I got shat on, peed on. Right in front of my mother-in-law as well.
Oh,
like, God. I was going to be one of those good daughter-in-laws changing the nappy, and the little bugger shat and peed on me in front of her.
It's the beauty of it.
So, sleepless nights, you know, even though I had a really good child, it was hard.
Mm.
And then the little voice in my head came back and was like, oh, you're going to gain all the weight again. Watch. And then I started to get lazy. And overly exhausted.
Of course.
And also at this stage, because having a baby working out wasn't enough, being a wife wasn't enough, I decided to build my own company.
Started a business.
I stopped working when I was 38 weeks pregnant, went back to work after 2-3 weeks.
Yep.
And then I've stopped.
Mm.
But, like, yeah, built my own company and still not enough.
Mm.
I'm still trying to fill
the
my
void.
Bucket, my void.
Yeah.
And I don't know what kind of void is that, but it's just, I want to be Superwoman.
Yeah.
And...
Well, you want to get away from the possibility of falling back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't want to be that prisoner anymore. So
yeah.
I'm going to do everything I can now to...
Make the most of it.
Make the most of it.
Yeah.
Because I'm not going to lie, sometimes in my head I'm like, until when?
Isn't the grass greener on the other side? Even though the grass is green right under our feet?
Well, exactly.
Yeah.
And like, so anyway, during this whole process of building the company and whatnot and being a mum and a wife and cleaning the house 5 times a day, I did end up putting a bit of weight back on because I then started neglecting myself. And what everyone has to realize, especially mothers, you need to make time for yourself.
100%. I'm a believer of that.
And I'm also a believer is for, if you don't make time for yourself, how can you be the best version of yourself for your child? And I know some mothers won't agree with that. And might get brokenhearted for me saying that. But my experience as a mum, I need to be the best version of myself to make sure my kid has a healthy life.
It's a mindset.
You know?
Yeah.
So.
I believe that.
Yeah.
I train, obviously, with the classes. There's lots of mums. And a lot of the time, it's great that the mums show up. It's a class in general. I love that, but there is some that they're constantly stressed and preoccupied and all these things, and I understand that that's a habit and you've got a lot of things you're trying to keep going and keep the momentum of and putting the fires out, pre-preparing, but like you said, how can you ever give to the world if you're not giving to yourself?
Exactly.
How long can you give until you can't give anymore because you're burnt out completely?
Exactly.
You need to fill your cup.
Yeah.
That's logical. That's just anyone, not only mums, but mums especially, because they put everything before themselves.
No, exactly. Like, sometimes I come to boot camp, right?
Yeah.
And you've seen Nathaniel. He's an active little boy.
Yeah.
If I can't pick up a dumbbell because he's gone to eat some dog poo, I'll pick up him and use him as a weight.
I actually love seeing that. Do squats with him.
Yeah. And I've done that.
Yep.
And, you know, he's having a laugh, I'm having a laugh, and I'm also working out.
Can you work at it?
You know,
yep.
you adapt to the life you have.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I've had to do. And look, I'm the type that wants to have more kids.
Yep.
I want another 3, 4, 5, 6, maybe 8, I don't know.
Calm down.
You know, let's see how it can go.
All right, business is good.
G-rated ends, G-rated.
Wait, what? No.
Maybe I'm pregnant now. No, I'm
Wait,
kidding.
What?
I'm kidding. I'm not allowed to get pregnant until you guys get married. So.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
It's all about us.
It really is.
It's all about us.
I'm closing up shop for you guys.
The production line has halted.
Pause.
Stop right there.
Mate. So.
It's crazy. Just thinking about it, but there's so many lessons in this, because like you can trigger warning, you can make all the excuses in the world and they're all valid, they're all true and they hold weight, but how long are you going to lean on those stories that there's things that don't allow you to do the things you want to do?
Well, do you want to live in the life, this is how I think of it, do you want to live in the life of excuses? Or do you want to beat those excuses? Do you want to be like, you know what, I feel like shit today, but I'm going to go work out, and it'll make me feel maybe a little bit better.
100%.
Like,
There's one side is the unknown,
yeah.
The other side is the thing you've always done.
And don't get me wrong, it is scary.
Yeah.
Like, when I was overweight, the pain factor started to scare me.
Feeling the soreness. Yeah.
Then it was, well, I can't work out or keep the same pace as others. Screw others.
At the time, I remember that, and people have this now. They always go, oh, I feel bad because I'm holding people up. Hey, no, you're not. You're holding yourself up because you're thinking about it. Just do the best you can. And I know how relevant that is in the time, though.
It's so relevant to the point where it literally scares you. And then you also have I think people call it the gym phobia or whatever, where you feel like people are watching you.
Judging.
But everyone has to understand you have a starting point. You had a starting point.
Damn straight I did.
You know, you were tiny. You were, you know, skinny.
Yeah.
Now look at you. I had a starting point. Britt had a starting point. Everyone has a starting point. Get to your starting point. You're the only one competing with yourself.
Yeah.
You don't need to compete with Bob and Bill and
Jill.
Jack and John and freaking Goldilocks. Like, be you. What life do you want to live? You have one life. Look, this is just me. Don't come at me. Come at me. I don't give a shit. But, like, do you want to go down the path of drugs, alcohol, sex with hundreds of randoms, different strangers, get chlamydia and HIV and fucking AIDS and blah, blah, blah?
It's quite a journey.
Like, shit, that's one hell of a life. Or do you want to have a healthy life? Successful, happiness,
achievement,
children around you when you're older, and that can push you in your wheelchair and pay for things for you. I do. Like, my kids are freaking buying me a mansion.
The kids are an investment.
100%. I already got him into modelling to pay for some of his nappies.
Did see those photos? All good photos.
Yeah, but he hasn't been like pinpointed yet, which is really odd. Maybe people think he's an ugly kid. I don't know.
You're just very biased.
He is so biased. Oh my god. He smells like a drug, except when he shits.
And shits on you.
Yeah. And pees on me too. Yeah, but it's. Choose the way you want to live your life. Put aside the stupid little voices in your brain.
Big point.
It's a big thing because I've got people in my life that they get into their own head. And because I've been there and I've done that, it's so deafening. You cannot see your achievements. You can't see you getting to your goal. You can't see the next day when you're in your own head, when you're hearing voices, oh, you can't do that, you're too fat, that's in your head, right?
Mm-hmm.
Those voices are in your head. What do you think it does when there's people around you and have those voices? It's like, well, they're right.
Yep.
Who? No, they're bloody not right. You know? Block out those voices.
Yeah.
And
how do you go about doing that, like, for yourself? Because when that's all you think and that's all you see and it's just blinding, there's really only one thing that I think that you can do, which is you need to be disciplined enough to do it regardless of how you feel, because you know it's good
for you.
It's good for you. Be selfish in that way, so that you can go on that journey and live that life that you want.
Yeah.
Literally, and this is what you have done.
Yeah.
So it's crazy to me. It's why you're doing this. That's why we're doing this podcast.
Oh, I thought, like, training.
No, training's a byproduct, man.
No.
Mate, that's what led you to come on here.
That's
no,
what
I'm
led
joking.
Me fucking having sore muscles.
That's right.
But
you know what I mean? Like, doing this stuff for you is, like, the biggest thing, but I want to dive into a little bit more of the challenges you faced, because I think of all people, you have really shown you've overcame the moments in training and the mindset where you really struggled, really didn't want to do it. Things that you think about to help you get through that, what you plan, the goals, all these things. Like how, like in the time, because I'm always like, it's on when we train, it's on. But there's times where you're like, I'm just not feeling it. And you know you're not going to get anything from me to support that.
Yeah, 9 times out of 10, that's how I feel.
Yeah.
I feel like, nah, I can't be bothered. I could literally be in bed with a heater on in my pajamas.
People choose that.
And it's freaking amazing.
It is lovely.
But where's that going to get me? Yeah, it's literally not going to get me anywhere.
Mm.
You know, training-wise, diet-wise. And I'm going to be plain and simple because I'm an honest bird here.
Mm.
I have body dysphoria.
Mm.
I look at myself in the mirror and I still see 160 kilos.
Mm.
People say to me, you've lost so much weight.
Yeah.
You've lost how much? I don't see it. That's why I keep chasing goals and, you know, where I want to get to. But even when I get there, it's not enough. I still see the same thing in the mirror. You know, food's like, oh, you know, I can't have that, that's off my diet. And then if I do have it, it's like a binge eat on it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's a mind game. It's all in your head.
Constantly weighing up whether you're going to go back.
Constantly. Get out of your head.
Mm. Well, I think that is... So, the person, very different to yours, but like similar mindset. The person I used to be was just not confident at all.
Yeah.
I didn't want to do anything. I didn't want to look you in the eye. I didn't want to speak my truth in these things. I weigh up that as well because I don't want to go back there because it's a waste of time.
Yeah.
I'm like, I've got goals that I want to achieve. You've got goals you want to achieve. So weighing it up is good, but I feel like staying there, you're locked into a perspective of fear constantly.
Yeah.
But I feel like you've really come a long way in still weighing it up, but you use it as fuel.
Yeah.
You use it like crazy. I know you do, because I challenge you on it all the time. I say, yeah, maybe you can't do it. It's like the old you.
Do you know how much that gets me?
I know. That's why I say it.
We were just doing bicep curls, and you saw my face in the mirror.
Yeah, you were locked on.
Literally, eye to eye in the mirror, and I was like, pumping it out. I was in so much pain.
Mm-hmm.
I was so tired.
Mm-hmm.
I was exhausted. I wanted to go home.
Yeah.
But I saw the fat shit I used to be.
Yeah, don't you want to, like, it's what it's about. It's like same old thing that's always says, like you're versing yourself.
Yeah.
But when you really step into that mindset in a moment where you're doing activity like that, like something that I do the same thing. I go, am I challenging the person next to me that really has nothing to do with my efforts right now? I look at myself and go, no, I'm going to make sure that the bitch voice doesn't win this time.
Yeah.
And what you did today and what you've done in all the sessions is you picture that and you go, nah, I'm going to push past that. And how much energy do you find? So much more than competition for someone else. It's like, you're going to blast through that voice that's constantly looking for comfort.
Yes.
Looking to complain. Mate, you probably think I'm crazy, and I am a little bit, and I'm infecting your brain.
There you are.
Yeah, thank you. And I look to see how intense I can make it, because I want that voice to know that doesn't matter what it does, I'm going forward. I'm going to keep improving, and you've started doing that like crazy.
Yeah.
And yesterday, late session, I was like, next level, because you did not want to do it.
I did not want to do it. And I kept saying to you how much I hate you, and there was a few...
Yeah. And I was just laughing.
...censored words that I should not really say.
I was laughing.
...of how much I hated you. But, like, I still push past it.
Yeah.
Because what I tend to do is I just block out that comforting voice that you were talking about.
Mm.
Oh, I'm tired. I block it out.
Yep.
And I'm like, no, you got another 5, get it done.
Yep, make it happen.
Make it happen.
Yep.
And when you start pumping them out and pushing through that pain, it's done.
Mm-hmm.
It's not gonna, you're not gonna have to do it the whole day.
No.
Constantly. No.
Temporary pain.
It's the 1 hour a day.
Yep.
Or smash not even it. Half an hour a day. Smash it. Don't have, forget about it.
Uh-huh.
The rest of the day. And watch over time how amazing you feel.
Now think about if you didn't do that and you just went through the motions. Now, this is a little bit of an interesting topic, but it's relative. And you're on the other side of this, but this is another version. Imagine if you didn't tap into that mindset and you did show up to the workout. Good work.
Mm.
You did that for 2 years and you're wondering why things aren't changing because you're just showing up and you're not putting effort in. I believe show up and do whatever you can. Yes, good. But how long are you going to keep that up before you start going, I could push myself to start a little bit more? People do them in boot camp.
Well, why are you wasting your time?
Well, they don't, like, this is the thing. The mindset is of, I went to gym today. By the way, I didn't break a sweat. By the way, my heart rate didn't increase. By the way, I didn't even feel the burn, because the second I started to feel the burn, I rested.
Okay, so there's two things there, right? I can see that from a perspective of someone that just wants to stay their body weight, their body, the same muscle mass, same fat percentage.
Yep.
They're content with their body, and they want to just stay that way.
Mm-hmm. Don't want to change anymore.
They don't want to change. They're happy that way.
Maintain. Yep.
Which...
That's great.
Great, right?
Yep.
But if you come to me, or you come, someone comes to you and says, I'm tired of having this, and like, tired of having a saggy ass, and like, okay... So
what are we going to do?
What are you going to do? Mm. You're going to keep, like, lifting one bicep curl and saying, oh, I'm done?
The same weights, the same effort.
Like, what do you expect?
Yeah.
I'm not the tooth fairy. Like,
no. Magic.
Abracadabra. Like,
yeah.
What?
Mm-hmm.
Work your ass off.
And this goes into fad little supplementing to try and fix that. But there is huge effort, and that is also a trap, but... You can do so much if you just push yourself. Like, crazy, man.
Mm.
Like, and okay, just for context, you don't have to go 10 out of 10 straight away. Your 10 out of 10 in the moment is your 10 out of 10. Doesn't matter what anyone else thinks.
Yeah.
That's what you can handle right now. And the next time you try and just do that a little bit more.
100%.
100%.
There's this one, during the weight loss journey and when I was exercising, there's this one lady that kept coming to boot camp and boxing.
Yep.
I'm not going to out her. And love her to bits. She's, oh, this is going to sound so ratchet, but she's probably in her 50s to 60s. 50s, I'm going to say. And she's a gun.
Yep.
She's a gun. Absolute gun. And I myself, like in my 20s, want to compete to her.
Mm.
I want to be at the same fitness she is.
Yeah.
Now, she's not muscly or
no.
or toned or anything like that,
she
right? But her, she gets into her mind.
Yeah.
That's what I want.
Challenges herself.
She challenges herself. So I find myself competing with someone that's in her 50s and I am fitter than her and I am more muscly and toned than her, but she has something I don't.
Mm.
Well, I do now,
yeah.
But back then I didn't.
Mm.
She got into her mind.
Tapped in.
Mm-hmm. And it's something everyone can do.
Everybody, you're not void of it. Everyone can.
Yeah.
100%.
And like, I know people get tired and...
It's part of it.
Shit, Melbourne's weather makes you tired.
It's cold.
It's freezing. I don't want to get out of there.
Working.
Fuck, finally.
Thank goodness.
Thank you for that. I really appreciate that.
I didn't think
I'm still cold.
Yeah, my hands are cold.
Everyone's going to think I'm nervous talking to you because I'm shaking. But I'm like, no, it's just freaking freezing because Andy can't afford
a fucking
wood heat.
Sorry about that. I was waiting for Tam to donate it because she's an angel investor. She's going to help just supply the heating.
You're an angel investor.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Yeah, I think the biggest one of the biggest things is that mindset tap in. Because then, like, all right, really quick ramble, and this all just makes sense because you have lived this. When you're lazy, your mindset's lazy, so all of your actions are lazy. You go to work out, yeah, push myself, and you'll give yourself all that credit because you showed up, and you'll keep doing that, but you won't push yourself, and you'll wonder why progress isn't happening, and then you'll get annoyed because, oh, it just doesn't work. Your workout doesn't work, or it's shit, or something like that. Or I'm different, and I'm a victim because it doesn't work for me.
You know what you need to add to that?
What?
People telling you how shit you are. Oh, people telling you how fat you are.
Yeah.
So not just that,
yeah,
but you've got people.
The outside saying.
Yeah.
Let alone us thinking it.
Yeah.
As well, that you're not good enough.
Like, so where the fuck do you go?
Yeah. So then, if you stay there and you don't push yourself, that spills into your life.
Yeah.
And then you start to settle and become more content with the level that you're operating at. And then you wonder why everything's so hard.
And because so miserable.
Because you didn't go the extra mile to make a difference. I feel like with how expensive everything is now, we need to work hard and we need to figure out a new plan to the normal that we've been doing.
Yeah.
That's why I started a business. That's why I started it. I want to make a difference,
yes,
in my life. But people don't want to look at new ways. They want to stay the same because they don't want to change their mindset to look at things new in a new way.
And people also have to think, like, if you have children or you have people in your life that love you,
mm,
this mindset will affect that.
Mm-hmm.
Will affect your child thinking, you know, mum loves me, but probably didn't give me the best version of herself.
Mm.
And I'm sorry, but that's going to hit a lot of people.
Oof.
And
that'll get me.
But it's true. Like, I adore my mother, and she did everything and like, when I said everything,
yeah,
everything for us.
Mm.
But still, even today, she tells me she
didn't
do things for her.
She's got some high standards.
But, like, even something, she only started just getting her nails done.
Right.
Maybe 2-3 years ago.
Yeah. Everything came before her.
Everything. Her kids.
Yeah.
Everything. And, you know, like most people, not everyone had a great upbringing.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I didn't have a great upbringing.
Mm-hmm.
But Mum tried everything she could to try to give us a good upbringing.
Yep.
And Dad.
Yeah.
But seeing them not be the best versions of themselves.
Yeah.
I'm telling you now, because my parents didn't have the best version of themselves, to then it made me realize, well, I don't need the best version of myself. They were fine.
You fall into that same category.
100%.
Oh yeah, this is a real good topic.
100%. Like, I saw, you know, my mom, and I started seeing traits of me doing that,
mm-hmm,
with Nathaniel.
Okay.
There was times where, okay, I wasn't getting my nails done.
Yeah.
I wasn't working out.
Yep. Didn't give a shit.
From one moment, I was just constantly cleaning the house, like, constantly, 4 or 5 times a day.
Fill the void.
100%. You know, if we went shopping, I'd only buy Nathaniel stuff.
Mm.
I found myself falling into traits of how I grew up.
Mm.
And I started to get depressed. Now, when I got depressed, I saw traits of, when I was growing up, I saw my mum getting depressed at stages.
Mm.
But because I was so tiny,
mm,
I didn't know what depression was.
Wasn't
and that
depression.
Yeah. But now as a mother, I can see it. You know, and like I said, my mum nowadays, she's like, you know, I never get anything for myself. I never do anything for myself. And like, I don't blame her because she had to raise 5 kids,
mm-hmm,
and not give herself the love and attention she deserved.
Yeah.
As a mother, I found myself slipping through those cracks.
Yeah.
And I thought that was normal.
Mm.
And I think, and I'm not saying everyone has experienced a similar childhood as I did,
no,
but if you have some sort of childhood where you have seen your mother go above and beyond for you, right, but neglect herself, I guarantee you money on the table, that then passes on to the next generation. That then passes on to your sons and daughters.
100%.
Like, and I don't want that for Nathaniel. I want him to be like, okay, mum's giving time for herself. That's great.
Yeah. She's getting it done.
She's getting it done. She's a boss-ass bitch. She is running a company, being the best mum,
mm-hmm.
being the best wife, making the house clean, food on the table,
mm-hmm.
money in that account,
mm-hmm.
and still looking like a goddamn MILF. 100%.
That's called conviction.
There you go. And I am proud.
I'm a proud man.
I'm a proud man. Woman.
I'm a man woman.
Purple woman.
I'm a purple woman.
Huh?
Do you know how much that plays on my mind? I haven't got kids yet, but soon. Wait, what? Sorry, Britt. Wait, what, Britt?
Britt's pregnant? We're joking.
One step at a time.
We're joking. Get married first.
But I look at it and go, shit, man, I'm going to be an example of being able to balance out the joys that you can have in life,
mm.
but getting after it. Being able to relax
mm.
when you need to.
Mm.
Being able to factor it in. So this goes into my next question for you. How do you do it all when you're exhausted and got no time?
You have no choices.
How do you, because that's a big thing. People go, you just don't get it.
You don't.
You don't. Oh.
You don't. Let me tell you something. And I will agree with those people.
Okay.
Okay.
Ready to debate.
Okay. Because you don't have a child,
mm.
and this is also when I did not have a child,
yep.
I would have the same thinking as you.
Mm.
You don't understand, number one, the different type of love.
Yeah. You want to give and care and do everything.
No. It's a different kind of love that absorbs you.
Okay.
You've never felt a love in your whole life like that.
Mm.
You think you love Brit so much, right?
Mm.
Like, jump in front of a bullet, machete,
mm.
a tiger.
Mm. Rather the bullet, because the tiger would hurt a lot, and then I'd probably die after.
You would just die for her, okay? Let's just get to the point. You'd die for her, okay? Whether it's by a tiger or by me at the moment. It's a different type of love that absorbs you.
Mm. Hit like a train.
It's indescribable.
Mm.
Now I can actually understand why people do drugs.
Mm.
Because the smell of my son, even his stinky ass feet, is like a drug for me.
Yeah.
So when people say I'm exhausted from being doing this for them, this, I can understand that. Because you want to, all your might wants to give them everything.
Yeah.
And then you get criticized if you're doing it right or you're not doing it right and different people's opinions and whatnot. Frankly, dead straight, who cares how someone else wants to raise their kid?
Of course.
Focus on what you want to do.
Damn straight.
Now, there's going to be some people that don't agree with my parenting.
Hmm.
That's fine. Keep it to yourself.
Yeah.
But my point is, I get how people can be like, I'm too tired, I have to give more to my kids, my kids control my life.
Mm-hmm.
I get that
yep.
because you want to do so much for them.
Mm.
However, like I have always said from the start, how can you do so much for them when you're not 100% yourself? And no one will ever be 100%.
Strive for it.
But part of me is like, I want to not give my child the same childhood I had.
Mm.
And I found myself doing that.
Mm.
And it was just like automatic.
Yep. Ingrained.
And when I say that, I mean it as, well, I'll just put myself aside and do everything for him.
Yep.
No.
Hmm.
no, that's not healthy.
Mm.
And it will impact him.
Mm.
When he sees me depressed, when he sees me not happy, when he doesn't see me doing things for myself or looking good for myself. You know, when I actually straighten my hair and put makeup on, the biggest smile on his face that comes up, he's like, damn, my mum is pretty.
Now you're doing it for him.
I'm doing it for him because I just want that smile.
That's a smile.
Now, my point is, yes, I can understand people get into that mindset, that headspace.
Mm.
And this is going to hurt a lot of people, but if you want your child or people around you to have the best version of you, be the best version of you.
Walk the walk.
Talk the talk.
Mm.
You know? They don't want some exhausted...
Who does?
Can't be bothered parent. And I found myself going down that rabbit hole. I did. Not only health-wise, where I wasn't coming often enough to the gym.
Yeah.
I wasn't seeing my kid because I was working so much, you know, on the computer and whatnot. And then I saw that it was impacting him.
Mm. Well, 100%.
And then I started to see that he was gravitating towards dad more than me, which is fine.
Mm-hmm. Of course.
Right?
But hell no.
Hell no. We ain't gone home then. None of that shit. No. But it showed that I wasn't around.
Perfect lesson.
So if I'm the best version of myself, I make myself happy.
Mm.
I put in the work for my health. I'm around longer because I'm healthy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That will give my kids the best version.
Well, your decisions change.
Yeah.
Sometimes we just need to see those things and then we can take action in a new way.
Yeah. So what did you want to debate about? I felt like I rambled on a lot then.
You answered all my questions.
Oh, look at that. I'm just that smart.
No, like, because you can show up and... I can't remember what I was saying, but I think it was... When you're a mum, the mums that I see, they'll come and they're preoccupied, but how do you make the time to look after yourself? To do it, even though you're still giving everything to your kid, family, the work you're doing, all these things. Let's say you're swamped with time and you look at your calendar and it's just like... You look at it and go, I got no time now, I've got anxiety, I'm going to panic... I need 50 coffees to survive the day, no, just to feel energized, exactly. But the mindset of that can swamp you, but how does things change when it's like that? You make the time.
You make the time. Do you know what I do? So I'm a full day ahead.
Yep.
Every day is a full day.
Yep. Good.
And this is screwed up, I know. And at the end of the night, I'm passed out exhausted.
Accomplished.
Accomplished, but exhausted.
Yeah.
It's rewarding.
I think the biggest thing is that there's a lot of lessons in your story.
Yeah.
That could be good for people if they're willing to try it.
Yeah.
And to get into a flow to then eventually fully commit after seeing that little bit of change.
Yeah.
Because if you try and think, oh, I'm just going to change my whole life now and dedicate everything to this new cause.
Yeah.
I don't think that's always the best way. I think you need to try it to see that it can happen. And then once you see that little bit, you can go all in and go, I trust the process.
And you know what? Failing is not an issue.
It's my favourite.
You're standing up, you fall. Stand up,
mm-hmm.
fall. Stand up, fall. When you fail, when you fall, you hit rock bottom.
Yeah.
And you hate that feeling. So you know to get back up.
Mm. Yeah.
And if it's a yo-yo...
Happens.
It happens. Like... I'll probably go home right now and eat chocolate.
Don't do that.
Probably
you,
will.
You literally just trained before. Don't
I'm
spread that shit
I'm due for
up.
My period, so I probably
I don't give a shit.
I don't give a shit about you. So, you know, it happens. Embrace it.
Mm-hmm.
And learn from it.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, I fell so many times after giving birth.
Yep.
So many times.
Yep.
And I got down on myself so many times, and I was like, I'm a shit mum.
That's another big one.
Oh, I thought I was the worst mum. Because I was either neglecting my kid, or neglecting myself,
yep.
or neglecting the house, or neglecting my husband.
Yep. It's a lot of neglect.
It's a lot. So, oh, wait, before we spoke about the day, right, I was telling you, I plan every minute of the day.
Yeah. Oh, that's right, the time.
Yeah.
Segue back.
See? Okay. So, literally, if I have PT,
yep.
right, I allow the hour for it, but then I allow half an hour of whether it's travel
mm-hmm.
or if it goes over.
Yeah. Leeway.
Leeway. And you do that, right? Meals, make sure you have meals on you,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
Unfortunately,
no,
Britt could not cook me breakfast this morning.
She couldn't.
Being here, so I'm starving.
We already ate.
I feel like bashing you in the face.
We already ate before our session.
Well, you're an asshole.
Yeah.
Okay.
It is what it is.
Yeah, well, you are is what it is.
Deal with it.
Screw you.
It's true love.
So, and then, you know, I've planned two meetings today.
Mm. Yep.
You know, one's at 11:30,
yep.
one's at 12:45.
Everything's sectioned.
But my meeting should only take half an hour to an hour, whereas I've allowed an extra 15 minutes
yep.
to either scull a coffee or have a nap.
Yep.
Like,
just get it in.
You literally plan minute by minute. If I have 1 hour at home in between meetings, bet your bottom dollar I'm cleaning that house. And getting everything done.
Getting on top of it.
Everything. In that 1 hour.
Mm.
Literally, I'm looking at the clock, looking at the minutes go by. I'm like, okay, I have 2 minutes to do that. 3 minutes to do that.
Mm.
And I'm running in the house.
Mm.
Which means, after my big day, I can actually sit down and be with my family.
Mm.
You know, Nathaniel's probably at childcare. Oliver's probably at work or he's at the gym.
Mm.
So I've got that time to get stuff done. So then when later on in that day, we can enjoy family time.
Mm.
I didn't have that mindset earlier on.
Yeah.
It was like, okay, everyone's at home. Everyone's here. I can just do stuff
yeah.
without realizing I was actually neglecting my family.
Mm.
I was neglecting myself.
Yeah.
Mm. So... No, before Nathaniel and Oliver wake up, I wake up at like 6 in the morning to start cleaning.
Mm.
So...
It's perspective, isn't it?
Get things done.
Yeah, fucking get after it. Like, life's not going to wait.
No!
And that's the other thing. It doesn't wait, so you have to make the change yourself.
Yes.
Completely. Otherwise, it's going to be the same.
100%.
Like, that's why... How many times have I said, if you don't push... Now, this isn't for everybody, by the way. I'm a bit different with Tam.
It really is. But you guys just don't want to accept it.
I love that. Thank you. Love being corrected. If you... Like I always say, it's like, if you don't push, you are not better or bettering yourself than what you were.
Do it for yourself.
If you don't make a change... to do that little extra activity that you know is going to be beneficial as an investment for the future,
mm-hmm.
in some aspect, short term, long term, doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to happen. It doesn't just happen. Well, I'm manifesting for the universe, but I'm putting it out there, but then I'm going to do nothing.
No.
Because someone's just going to plant it.
Put a money tree in your backyard.
So, all right. Moral of the story, and then I want you to... put a message out there for people. Moral of the story is change can happen when you make it happen. You make it happen. Otherwise, it will not change. You need to show yourself that it's possible for you, even in your darkest hours, even in the worst circumstances. You need to look at it and consider everything, family, work, life, everything, yourself. And then you start the change. Even if it's little to big, doesn't matter, but you build up to it, and it's possible.
I think before even that, acknowledge these voices in your head.
Yeah.
And cut them off.
Yeah.
And then plan for change.
Yeah. So no longer give in to them, no longer don't listen to them.
Don't push past them.
And do you put your own new voice
yes.
in the way?
Yes. Instead yeah. of say, like, so how I think of it is a bad Tam and a good Tam,
okay.
right?
Mm.
Bad Tam's like, you can't do it.
Mm.
Good Tam's like, show it. Do it. Prove it wrong.
Make it happen. Yeah.
Listen to this one.
I love that.
Don't listen to that one. Do you
yeah.
know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
put your own voice.
Mm.
Say, yeah, I can do it.
Mm.
I'm going to prove it wrong.
Yeah.
When you prove something wrong to that voice in your head that says, I can't do it,
mm.
it's a game changer. It's a game changer. Do you know how hard it was to do sit-ups when I was overweight?
I do.
Or walk or anything? And that voice was so overpowering
mm.
where I couldn't hear this voice.
Yeah.
Now, the only voice I have, even though when I'm so exhausted, the only voice I have is you can do it.
You know what's crazy? It's hearing you say that. All right, let's say someone's at the beginning or they're struggling a lot and they're overweight or giving in to the voice and they're trying to work out, do crunches. What if during their crunches, all they still hear is that negative bitch voice?
It's literally going to make you want to stop.
Yeah, so let's say they're hearing, that's all they hear, and they know they've got to be doing it because they've heard it from everybody that this is the way, blah, blah, blah. What do?
Block it out.
Keep going.
Keep going.
Keep going, regardless of it hurts, it's uncomfortable, I'd rather this, I'd rather that, I'm lazy.
Because that voice is not going to be there
eventually.
When you succeed.
Well, you break through the threshold of that voice even having volume.
Exactly.
And then that new voice comes.
3-4 months down the track, do you really think that voice was right? Do you think it had any merit to what it was saying? When you see progress, give it. Everyone's biggest enemy is time.
Yeah.
Because time also impacts that voice.
Definitely.
Like, you're not going to see, I just did biceps, right? I'm not going to see results tomorrow.
No. It's a stacking.
It's a stacking.
Yeah.
And right now, this voice is probably saying to me,
yeah.
pussy ass bitch, you couldn't do those biceps properly. But you know what? In 2 months' time, I'll probably have bigger biceps than you.
I hope so. That'd be cool.
Well, that'd be really cool.
I know, but it'd be weird, though.
I would look so manly.
You'd just look strange, I think. You'd be Popeye.
MILF manly.
I'd be giving you spinach tins and a little pipe. Because that's what Popeye has.
Spinach shit.
Spinach is dirty.
Ugh. Disgusting. Silver beats disgusting.
Alright, so I want you to leave a message, and you can say as long as you want, doesn't matter, just get in a flow. Leave a message for people and we'll wrap it up with that.
Are you trying to like kick me out?
Yeah. Okay. Fuck yeah.
It's for you. My home, bitch.
I'm hungry again after breakfast.
So am I. You didn't feed me.
So
angry.
So what advice do you want to put out to the world based on your experience that you know now is true for you, and what can you pass on?
Get the minute you get out of your own head is the minute you begin the life you want. Whether that's you feeling as though you're not a prisoner in your own body anymore, whether that's you building a multi-million dollar company, whether that's you having 10 kids on a farm, living happily ever after. The minute you get out of your own head and appreciate every minute of the day and appreciate your self-worth, that's when you will truly be happy. For yourself. Not for anyone else. Be happy for yourself.
I love it.
I love it too. That's why I said it.
Yeah, I'm keeping that in. It's a real tap. Good job.
No idea.
Thank you for listening. This is episode 13. I'll see you on the next one.
Bye, guys.
Good shit. That was good.